Good morning. Good morning. Please stand as we worship. Would the children please come forward? So it is Palm Sunday, so we're going to have the children waving their palm branches as we sing this next song, Hosanna.
Praises rising, eyes are turning.
Worthy of all our praises. Good morning. Good to see you. Already we've had a change in our order of service. We decided not to print new bulletins because the change came 10 minutes ago. It is good to see you here. Welcome to the service this morning. Welcome to St. Paul's. If you are visiting with us, a special welcome. I would invite you to join us for some refreshments after the service down in Campbell Hall at that end of the building. We do have a few announcements that we will go through fairly quickly. We are again looking for some help with our kid check process, where we check the kids into the program so that we know who is here and who is not here. This is all endeavoring to make sure that our kids are safe. If there was a fire or something in the building, we needed to evacuate, we would immediately know who was in the building and who was not. So we do need some help checking kids in, and if you could do that even once a month, that would be fabulous. If you have tried it in the past and gave up because the system was frustrating, God bless you. Welcome back. We have a new tech involved, and it is working really, really well. So if you've tried and gave up, now may be the time to try again. You can speak to Jeremy about that today. That would be fabulous. If you paid for a photo directory and or a memory stick for the pictures, you can pick that up in Campbell Hall again today at that end of the building. Seniors Lunch is coming up on April 24th, and you do need to sign up for that. Phil Kim will be helping to lead a hymn sing for that. And the last announcement on the page, I don't know how many have noticed the error in the announcement. Lloyd. Thank you, Lloyd. It's the cleanup day for the church. We invite people to come with rakes and such and help clean up the lawn and clean up the property. It will be on Saturday, May 4th. It's not going to be on Easter Sunday. So we're not looking for people to do the cleanup Easter Sunday. It will be on Saturday, May the 4th. And I would encourage you to come and spend even a couple of hours that day with your brothers and sisters cleaning stuff up. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you in your presence because we know that you have promised to be wherever your people are gathered. And so we bow before you to acknowledge you as God, to acknowledge you as Lord, to celebrate you as Savior in Jesus Christ, and to bow our wills before your will as you are Lord of all. Bless us with your Holy Spirit. Fill this place and fill each of us with your Spirit, that we should turn ourselves over to you and give you honor in the worship we offer during this service, but also the worship that we offer you the rest of this day and the rest of this week. Be glorified, Lord, we pray, in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please stand as we continue to sing.
Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son.
first reading this morning is from Psalm 22. It's a psalm that we find reflected in the Gospels, and you may find this familiar. Let us hear God's word. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you even at my mother's breast. From birth, I was cast on you. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions that tear their prey open, their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircle me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide up my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lion. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We'll now take up the offering, and the ushers will come forward and we'll offer up our praise in our hearts to the Lord while we do that.
He is strong.
Our second reading this morning is from John chapter 18, verses 28 to 40. Again, let us hear God's word. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace, because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? They shouted back, No, not him. Give us Barabbas. Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last week, I put myself in the story and took you along. This morning, I am putting you into the story. So I want you to picture this scene in your head, and I want you to picture yourself within the scene. If it will help you to do so by closing your eyes, go ahead, do that. Snoring is not permitted. If it will help you just to focus on the image, that's cool too. But put yourself in this scene. The sun has been up for just a short time. The large hall in which you stand is made of cold stone with small windows high in the wall. And it is all covered over by a high stone vaulted ceiling. There's a musty, damp smell from the cool of the night just past. The sun's rays are just beginning to peek through the high windows. And outside, the people of the city are beginning their day, merchants opening shops, craftsmen gathering tools. In the middle of the room in which you stand, there is a man of no apparent consequence. He's been awake probably 25 or 26 hours at this point. He spent the early part of the night struggling and praying within himself, and he spent the latter part of the night and early morning being questioned and accused, being struck and being spat upon. You can see from where you stand that this man is just about exhausted, both physically and emotionally. He stands there, not the revolutionary you expected, but a tired man who appears to be a broken man. He has to stand there for a very long time, and you wonder why he has not yet fallen down from fatigue. And then your boss walks into the room, Pontius Pilate, the governor of the land. He is the highest ranking government official in the land. He can command an army to attack a city without asking Rome's permission if it's for the good of the empire. Your boss, Pilate, he has had a full night's sleep, though he was wakened a little earlier than he likes. Still, he looks well rested and fresh and strong, ready to face another day dealing with these troublesome people. He had just been outside talking to some of them about this weary looking man. They talked at length before Pilate returned to the hall in which you stand. Your job is to keep watch over this tired man, lest he make a break for it. This you find particularly amusing because, besides his present condition, you heard that he surrendered without so much as a fight. When Pilate entered the room, he didn't approach the prisoner as you expected him to do, but he remained at the side by the door just a few meters away from you. And then he called the man to come to him. You watch with interest to see what will happen. It looks like it's taking most of this man's energy just to walk from where he was towards Pilate. But as he moves past you, you see something. Was it a glint in his eye? Was it the set of his mouth? And you realize that this is not a defeated man. When he finally gets to where Pilate stands, he stops. And Pilate looks at him, and this man returns his gaze. In fact, the prisoner appears to be seeing right inside the judge that stands before him. And Pilate asks, "Are you the king of the Jews?" You're beginning to understand. You had heard that the people were talking about this man they called Messiah, their king. This must be that man. But he doesn't look like any king you have ever seen. And just as you think this, the man answers Pilate, but he answers the question with a question of your own. Is that your own idea, or did others talk to you about me? Not the right thing to say. You can see Pilate's face beginning to turn red with rage. You know what Pilate is capable of doing when provoked. You know that he favors excessive force and violence to deal with troublemakers. And you find you're almost feeling sorry for this poor old man. But no, he's not an old man, is he? Why did he look that way? Is it a careworn face? Is it a look of wisdom in his eyes? Once again, you realize there is more to this man than you first thought. Pilate speaks, only just containing his anger. "Am I a Jew? Your people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Pilate was great at that. He could change the subject without the accused even knowing it happened. He always directed the conversation. He was the one who determined guilt or innocence, and he was the one who determined how it would be done. But as the man responds, you realize that there is more to him than you first thought. He doesn't allow Pilate to control the conversation. He continues on topic. "My kingdom is not of this world," he says. "If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." You have to use all of your resources to keep your mouth from falling open. You're sure you didn't hear him correctly. A kingdom from another place, not of this world. You find that you have to restrain yourself from walking over to look the man in the eye. Even as you consider this, again you hear Pilate's voice. "You are a king then." And even as you hear the words, you wonder if they are a question or if they are a statement of fact. And so you glance at Pilate, and in his face you see that even he is not sure if it's a question or a statement of fact. The prisoner replies as you stare mesmerized. "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." You see that this man has now faced Pilate with a question. Not whether or not the man is innocent. You and he both know he's done nothing wrong. Now, the question with which Pilate is faced is whether or not he will respond to the truth. This man, this Jesus, a carpenter you heard, a preacher, a rabbi, a healer, a miracle worker, claiming to be a king, claiming to testify to the truth. What will Pilate do? Pilate responds as you are wondering these things, and he says simply, "What is truth?" You know that Pilate is not a keen philosopher. you know he was not asking a profound question. You have just witnessed your boss rejecting Jesus as he stood before him. And even as you think this, Pilate turns and leaves to go back to the crowd outside. And from what you have heard from the crowd outside and from what you know of Pilate, you know that things are not going to end well for this man in the room beside you. You know that soon this Jesus will die. But the scene is not over yet. You are still standing there keeping watch over that tired man who claims to be a king just an arm's reach away. You've seen and heard Pilate's response to Jesus' claim, and even as you wonder about this, Jesus turns and he looks directly at you. He looks right at you and seems to see right into your heart, right into your soul. And you know that you are now faced with the same question that Pilate faced. What is your response to the truth? What is your response to Jesus? As he stands before you and claims to be king, claims to be your king, that scene in the damp, musty hall has not ended, nor will it end until you have made your choice, until you have made your response to the truth. You can choose, as did Pilate, to put him down as being either a fool or a liar and go about your life as your own master, your own king or queen, proclaiming your own truth. But I think as you saw Jesus in that hall that you know he is neither a fool nor a liar. In fact, if there's one thing that history agrees on, Jesus was not a fool or a liar. Jesus continues to look at you and see right into your very soul. He sees you and me as we really are. He sees past the masks we wear to hide our true selves, to hide our sin, to hide our brokenness, to hide our doubts, to hide our fears. He sees the true us that we only admit to when we are most vulnerable. He looks into your soul and my soul, and the look on his face is one of deep and profound love. He looks at you and says, "Everything I am about to do, I am doing for you. Everything. I will bear the pain and the suffering for you. I will endure the mockery and rejection for you. I will allow myself to be crucified for you so that you are forgiven all your sin. I will experience complete separation and brokenness from my Father for you. And I will die for you so that you will have life even to all eternity. Everything I am about to do, I am doing for you, to forgive your sin, to heal your brokenness, to calm your doubts and to relieve your fears. This is King Jesus standing before you, the Messiah of God, who is offering up his life to you and for you. Jesus is Savior through his life and death on the cross and his rising from the dead, but he is also King, he is also Lord, and he is worthy not only of our trust to save us, but he is worthy of our devotion. that we should follow him and learn from him and grow to be more like him. So you stand there in that damp, musty hall with Jesus looking into your eyes and seeing into your soul. And you hear the words, "You are a king then." How will you respond? As you stand in that hall, Jesus is about to be judged by the crowd outside. But he's also about to be judged by you and by me. Is he our king or not? Is he your king or not? If he is your king, what does that mean for you? If he is your king, what will the rest of today look like? What will this week look like as you live with Jesus as king? The choice is yours. Let's pray. Our loving God, you know us. You know us inside out. You know the truest and most real us, and you love us. You see and know our deepest secrets, our darkest secrets, and you love us. You see and know the depth of our doubts and suspicions. Doubts about you, suspicions about you, and you love us. You know us better than we know ourselves. And you love us to the point of the cross and back again. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. For loving us for who we are. For loving us even when we can't even love ourselves. We thank you that you do love us as we are, but we thank you that you love us too much to leave us as we are. Lord Jesus, we bow before you and acknowledge our trust in you to save us. My trust in you to save me. And we acknowledge you as Lord, as our Lord, as my Lord. And we bow our wills to you. I bow my will to you. That I should live with you as my king, as our king, as my Lord, as our Lord. Transform us, Lord. Make us more. Help us to grow in faith that we should trust you more and more, that we should follow you more and more. We pray for this community, Lord. We pray for the people of this community to know your love, the love that you have for them, and we pray that you would use us. That you would express your love to the people of this neighborhood and the neighborhoods in which we live and where we work, that you would express your love to the people around us and that you would do so through us. Give us that capacity for love. Fill us to overflowing with your love that it shows in all that we say and all that we do. And we pray for this world, Lord, this hurting world, which so desperately needs you and your grace and your love. Bless us this week. Bless us this day, that our lives should reflect you, King Jesus, Savior Jesus, Lord Jesus. Our God, all this we pray, in and through Jesus. Amen.
Please stand as we sing our closing song.
There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
I'm letting you out early on good behavior, unless you want me to preach some more. There's always a choice before us. Every single morning, there's a choice. And I don't mean that from the I'm preaching another sermon, sorry. I don't mean that from the perspective that our salvation is ever in danger. Christ is sure. He will not let us go, no matter what. But we are faced with a decision every day, whether we follow him or not, whether we live with him as king or not. Every morning we get up. Every time we go to work, every time we go to school, we are faced with that choice, that decision. May we always live with Christ as King and Lord. And may the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.